Hi, it's Shelley. And this afternoon, we're going to have a little bit of a discussion about a topic that can give us some of us some frustrations in our lives when we're especially new at being blind and learning our way around all our adaptive technology and alternative techniques. And that topic is family dynamics. How can I maintain my independence and ask for help from my family when I need it? So in other words, how can I maintain my independence, but yet be able to ask my family for help when I need it? And there's a second part to this. How do you decline, you know, with grace, their offer of help when you don't think that you need as much help as they think you need? So those are the two aspects that we're going to be discussing this afternoon. I was very much in a new stage when I lost my vision completely of learning alternative techniques. And I had pretty much been of the mindset that these alternatives were fine and meeting all these capable people was great, but this was not totally ever going to have to apply to me. And so I could continue to sniff my way through life as well as learn the alternative techniques. But when I found myself in the position of being totally blind, I was very thankful for two things. One was the training that I had had through a Commission for the Blind in my state, and that was in the state of Idaho, who employed very successful blind people with the philosophy of the National Federation of the Blind. And that was huge to me. Because as frightened as I was, as ill-equipped as I felt, I had learned things enough to begin my journey in this realm. And I knew that there were people that were successful that I could go to for help. So that was all part of gaining my independence. So to convince my family of that, an instance that I can remember pretty vividly, two of them actually. One was I was getting used to using my cane all the time, but we were in a small town where I lived. We were, my mom and I, and I don't remember if one of my siblings was going or not, but we were going to get in the car, go out to my grandmother's house because it was far enough you would tend to drive there rather than walk or anything. And she said, I was grabbed my cane and was going to go outdoor with my cane. And she says, well, you don't really need that. We're just going to grandma's house. But I was in that really new situation of, but this is my eyes. This is how I tell what's going on. And I may know my way around, but I might feel awkward. Your surroundings might have changed for some reason, furniture moved or whatever it would be. And I felt like I really needed that cane with me. And she relinquished. She saw that it upset me to not take it. And so it was like, well, okay, that's fine. And then another instance was when I, that fall was going to be returning to college and we were discussing how I was going to be handling various things like laundry in the dormitory and things like this. And mom thought I needed to have somebody maybe help me with ironing and doing laundry. Well, my mother had taught me very well how to do laundry as I was growing up and she had taught me how to iron. So I felt like those things were not a problem. And I had also worked with those techniques in the rehab training that I'd had. So those were two instances I could think of that I tried to be tender enough and say, I really don't need this help, even though you think I do. So it's just a real careful way that we need to go about loving our families into the new situation that we are in. And if anybody has anything to offer, please jump in. This is a conversation. It's not a dialogue just for me. And Ruth, if just jump in at any moment.
Well, Diane's here as well. So you can...
Good. Hi, Diane.
Good. Okay, good.
Hi.
Hi. So I gave a couple little scenarios about myself, but feel free.
One I think that seniors can identify with often is, you know, you used to maybe care for your grandchildren and even take them places and do all kinds of things with them. And as your sight diminishes, your family members are not really certain what you can do, and you're not maybe as certain or as confident of yourself either, and so it can be awkward because you might not know exactly, well, how do I care for my grandchildren? Now, their age might depend upon the things that you do with them, but your family members may be not wanting the grandchildren to take care of you. Maybe they want the I mean, let me say that again. Your children, your grown children may not want you to care for your grandchildren, and they will tell the grandchildren to take care of you, and you're the adult. So that can pose some, I think some real, you know, discussion with, your adult children and the grandchildren, because you do want to be in charge of the grandchildren. You're the adult, and they really are under your care and your supervision. You can ask them for information. You can get them to help you do things. Children love to help grandparents, you know, just in general. I mean, if you want to bake cookies or something, have them help you do that, or other things that you might have done with them. So there are ways that you can think creatively, but still maintain your independence and have the family work together. And you're really their teacher and their guide, because they maybe haven't met many blind people in their life, and they want you to remain independent to do what you want to do. But they can be frightened that if something happens, then they'll feel responsible for you as well as their children. So there are some psychological, I think, parts to this dilemma that people have expressed to me over the years in many different ways.
Right, right.
Can we have raised hands? Or Diane, do you have thoughts?
Yeah. Diane, is you?
Yes, I do. You know, Isa, with our families, we don't want to offend them, and we love them, but it is still a balancing act, I think, a lot of the times. Because, as I said, Ruth, you said, I'm sorry, who was on before me? I'm sorry, I came in late.
Oh, Ruth, I was, Ruth.
Well, then who was before you?
Shelley Koppel.
Shelley, all right. Now I should know you by now, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
I've had kind of a wild day, so I gotta come down to earth now.
Okay.
anyway, I do think, as we are saying, Shelley, I don't know that there's really anything I can add except always to be sensitive to your family's concerns. They mean well, and sometimes, even though we mean well, we may come off as being too protective or worry too much. So that is really all that I have to add. So.
Audio now unmuted. Yeah, a gentleman that I spoke with this week said that, you know, it was over the voting issue, and he had gotten a ballot in the mail and was needing to fill that out. And his sister was kind of saying, well, you just, you know, fill out these little circles and things on the ballot. And he goes, but I can't see the little circles. And so he got pretty frustrated that there was a misunderstanding of what he was able to do, and yet he wanted to vote, and there was a little frustration there. And so I said to him, the biggest thing to me, as Diane and Ruth have said, we've got to let our family know that we, at the end of the day, when it's all over with, if there's words said, if there's attitudes we didn't mean to express, that we just say, you know, we love you. We understand. We got to work together on this, and just, you know, kind of part ways, have that little separation, but come back with a real honest discussion of, you know, these are the ways you can help me, and I'm still learning how to ask for help. That's the other thing. We have to have a little experience to know how to ask questions. I think we talked about that in as far as O&M, how to ask directions, and same in our own personal lives. What things to ask and how to ask them so that we get correct information and our families understand kind of what the things are that we actually do need help with.
Okay, Ed.
And I think we can.
I want to go ahead and acknowledge him since he raised his hand.
Okay, while you're unmuting him, I think you can say, too, I don't really know how I'm going to do this, but let's see if we can explore some options and figure it out together. You know, because that's them, instead of you teaching them put them in the position of helping you find the solutions. And you can say, you know what, now that I'm a part of a group of blind people, which you are by joining this you know, National Federation of the Blind. I know there are other blind people out there, and they're figuring these things out. And so you can have them help you figure out how to do it. You don't have to always know the answer or how you're going to do something. And it's okay to say, I don't know.
Right, exactly.
But we can figure something out together. It's okay if I don't know. Or let's ask, or let me call some other people or talk to some other people and get some other ideas on how we can do this. So it's perfectly okay not to know something.
Yeah.
This is Diane. I'm playing catch up. I really do apologize for being late. However, like I say, it was that kind of a day. Anyway, what I wanted to know was, since I missed the very first part of Shelley's talk, I understand about grandchildren, but something about the ballot came up. Now, did someone think that your grandchildren, surely they didn't think your grandchildren could help you fill out your ballot? Or did
no.
They?
Oh, no. Okay, it was a gentleman and his sister, two adults. So the sister was trying to assume that he could see what the ballot was, and he was trying to express it was too small. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay, now I'm in the game.
That's okay, but that's true. You know, I used to get that a lot, you know, and even now with my grandchildren, they're getting to the age where they're understanding that I don't see. They've lived around me, but, you know, it's always a work in motion with, you know, teaching them to understand, but you don't want the public to think, well, they're taking care of you.
Ed has a question.
Yes.
Go ahead, Ed. You should
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, Ed. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah.
Well, excuse me. I'm just wanting to piggyback off of Ruth and Shelley. My question was, first I want to say thank you, you know, because I'm still finding myself telling my wife and daughter that I can do, you know, don't worry about me. And where I learned this from was, you know, I'm new at this. Been blind almost 5-6 years. And the young lady Shelley and Miss Ruth, I have to give you guys kudos, because I went down to South Carolina and I learned something from Miss Shelley. You know, that the confidence and learning how to ask and ask the right questions. And I came back home and my wife see that she seen a change now, and I have more confidence. And thank you too, Miss Ruth. But it's now I can hold my head up high and just know that I can do this without, you know, getting in an argument or a little, discussion with my wife. And like you said, Shelley, yes, at the end of the day, you know, I come back. I might have an attitude because you're upset, because I'm telling you I can do this, but you're telling me, well, I don't know. And it's more about safety now. I'm not taking it to the point where she's saying, I don't think you should do this. It could be a way where you should do it safely. So, you know, it works on both sides. You know, it's like a double-edged knife. So that's what I learned at the seniors retreat over the years too. So, you know, I just want to say thank you more of that, because without these retreats, Eddie Poindexter wouldn't be where he's at today. So thank you guys.
Yeah.
Well, you're most welcome, Eddie. That's what the purpose of the retreat is to really help you think through your blindness. As Robert said, think about being blind in a different way so that you really can do the things that you want to do. And I do think at first, because most of you are losing vision gradually, so it changes over time. And so, and this happens to most people. People say, well, what can't you see? Or how much can you see? And you might not even know. And so sometimes to say to people, you know, thinking of, well, right now the issue is I want to do X, Y, and Z. And I don't know if I can see this, what, you know, you'd like me to, but I need to start finding, you can say alternative methods or different ways or making adaptations, whatever, but you can help that family member understand that the way you used to do it isn't going to maybe work for you, and it's okay to find some new ways of doing things, and they will work just as good, and they'll be just as efficient, and they may be different, but it's okay. And that's hard for sighted people, because sometimes they want you to do it the visual way when it isn't really very helpful to do it the visual way anymore. And so sometimes we do have to teach them, and it doesn't mean that you have to give in all the time or be, you know, you can be firm with people sometimes, polite but firm, you know, and say, well, right, I don't think that system's going to work for me right now, you know. Now I'm at a place where I have to, something else has to come alive here. We have to invent something, or I have to take some advice that I've heard other people say that they do, and let me see if this system's going to work for me, you know, so that you give yourself the freedom to make those adaptations and changes,
right,
and that it's okay
right.
to do that.
Right, right.
Okay.
Cynthia Young has a question.
It's partly a question and partly, you know, a comment, you might say, but I've only been blind 2.5 years for very, very low vision, and I, last year, school year, my youngest daughter-in-law, her and my son were going to go out of town for a few days, and she wanted if I could watch the kids and get him down to the bus stop. And I thought, how in the world am I going to do that? She goes, well, I'll show you. And so we walked it. So I knew which way to go and where to turn. And she told me where to stop at. And I was trying to find what, landmarks I could, you know, tap on to find. And so we would drop him. Well, he'd take the bus one place and then he'd get off in another place around the corner. And I thought, wow. And so I asked the other mother-in-law, I said, does it bother you that she's asked me to watch these kids? Cause she lived about 3 blocks away around the corner and down. She goes, no. She says, but one of my daughters does. And she said, are you sure you want her doing that? And this mother-in-law said, Cynthia can do anything she puts her mind to.
That's excellent.
That's awesome.
And that's true, yeah. That you will find people that believe in you, and
sure.
You know, that's superb. That's wonderful.
What a confidence builder that is.
Yeah. Okay, let me tell you real quick now. Here, that was a year ago. This boy now is in first grade. And the other day I was at their house and he said to me, Grandma, can you hear? I said, of course I can hear. I just can't see, you know. And so I think, you know, it's a learning thing. And as far as his little sister, when I first got back from blind school, she knew me with vision. And when I got back, of course, I mean, I couldn't see. And it bothered her 2 different times when I was around her. She says, Grandma, can you see me? And I said, no, sweetie. I said, but Grandma can still hug you and kiss you. Well, the third time when she asked me at, you know, a different time, and I thought, what can I say to this little child to help her to get through this? Because it's obviously bothering her. And so I said her name and I said, Grandma's eyes got sick and they won't get well. And that's why I can't see you. I said, but I still can love you and kiss you. And now she's fine with it. She's fine. And it's funny how little children will grab your hand and just drag you down the hall or I couldn't find my shoes one day and she took my hand and pulled me straight down and right on top of the shoe. And I thought, oh my gosh.
That was cute.
But I just thought, you guys, you know, there's good and bad and all kinds of things. We just have to keep moving forward.
Yes.
And that's not to say we're not going to have days where we cry, you know, but we got to push and get through it because we have a lot to offer.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yeah, that's great. I love those stories. That's neat. And talking about our family dynamics, a lot of what gets, it's more frustration usually that gets at the heart of what the matter is with the dynamics with another family member. You know, you're doing a tug of war thing, you know, convincing them you can, they're saying you can't, and so you're standing your ground.
Man.
And it's a frustration. So that's the thing that I was thinking of too at the end of the day. You know, that's what you convey, is that it's a frustration. It's a stage. It's a learning time. Like Ruth said, we're figuring this out together. You know, we just need to have a little bit of patience with each other.
Katie has a question. I think it's Katie.
This is in Georgia.
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Katie.
Hi. So I want to talk about a little bit about helping people to understand what we need. And this is also, thank you so much. There are people in our families who want to know how to help us. And as difficult as it is to accept, there are some people that no matter how hard we try, they simply don't want to know how to help us. And we have to just accept that.
That's something that I've had to do. You know, I have a sister who lives less than 10 miles from me, and I haven't seen her in over a year. Because she has not accepted my blindness, doesn't want to know how to help me, and it's okay. I talked to her on the phone, and we're good. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk a little bit about is that I know that there are a lot of us, as we age, we have to make some decisions about staying in our houses or moving in with family members. And for me, it worked out that my son, who is here, is the son who was always helping me, but we lived in different states. So we kind of set some ground rules, and we have our own spaces. He was kind enough to choose a floor plan that would work for both of us and give us our own privacy, and we have our private lives. I fix my own meals. I do Walmart grocery ordering, and I'll order for him sometimes, too. So I had to help myself to remember we're not moving back into the parent-child relationship the way that it was. I have to stay out of his business, and he... He respects what I'm doing too. So you have to make some real efforts to keep your lives separate when you do move in together with your adult children. And that's very helpful for me.
Excellent points. And it is hard when a family member won't accept the blindness, but that can happen.
This is Diane. I have a question for Ed. He was saying that, you know, he's really comparatively new at this, being blind business. Thank goodness you found the NFB, Ed. Couldn't be among a group of more helpful, friendly people who've been through a lot of things and still have a lot more to get through, I imagine. Anyway, the other day, I want to go back just a little bit. I can't tell you which day, but it was one of the first days of the retreat. Someone said, you know, I've been blind for 2 years. How long does it take to adjust to blindness? Now, I never heard anyone comment on that. But I would like to, at this point, if I might, there is no time for adjusting to blindness. I think it is a constant isn't a good word, that sounds too negative. I think it is a progressive sort of situation where, and we certainly have talked about that this week a great deal, where it's very helpful if you can get to know other blind people. I married very young, and the person who really, well, I had done some cooking at home, but not very much. Not like you do when you're a new wife and mother. And the person who taught me the most and really didn't know she was teaching me or building up my confidence was another blind woman who had raised her family, and she was just terrific. So I guess you could say that we continue to adjust. We continue to learn. I don't necessarily like the word adjust, trying to think of a better word, but we continually progress. I like that better. To where we know more things. We're never going to learn it all, that's for sure. But I could tell that this person was really struggling, which is so natural. It is so natural. So anyway, that was all I wanted to add.
We have a couple questions if you're in a place you want those.
Sure.
Who there's an 816. What is your name?
Camilla.
Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that you may also run into family members who will not accept the fact that you don't need help or you don't want help, and they will insist on providing help whether you want it or not. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's true.
That. Yeah.
I think what happens, this is Diane, I think what happens to our sighted family and our sighted friends, too, until they know us, they think in their minds, oh, my God, if I was blind, I couldn't begin to do that. I'd be terrified to do that. So as we bring them along and nurture our friendship or our, well, we have friends in our family, too, so I can just say friendship. That they get over that feeling. They don't, it's not as new to some of us. And of course, if we were suddenly you go to bed and you could see and you wake up and you can't, and I've known people who that actually has happened to, they feel helpless and frightened and alone. And they are, because they have no experience. And that's where we could really be encouraging and helpful, whether it's a family member or whoever it is.
And
I have another question, Carol. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Carol. She's unmuted, or at least she's been requested. Are you there, Carol? Okay, there's one other person, Randy, if you're ready with your question. Go ahead, Randy.
Yes, there are many negatives that one might think with blindness, because many people are just scared of blindness. However, in a different aspect, I am very religious. I have a puissant belief in God. I believe that indeed he's chosen me to carry this cross because I'm strong enough too, and you are as well, to take this cross, and let's teach others of how not to be afraid of this and to go ahead and go forward and do what we do. And it's an evolution. We just evolve in this. And I just wanted to congratulate everyone for being so magnificent and allowing everyone to just teach the world that being blind is cool. I mean, we can't do anything about it.
And right.
We would if we could.
I like that.
I do too. I like that, Randy.
That is great. Yeah, that is great.
Well, all just be blessed.
Yeah.
And remember that I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And that's the message we do want to hopefully impart to people that are curious and questioning and all that, and maybe in denial, is that it's just part of who we are, you know?
Exactly.
And some people feel like they would have been in a worse situation had they not lost vision. I mean, there's people that I've heard of say it's actually been a benefit to me in the sense of maybe they were a more rebellious person before, and now they've just, you know, they've had opportunities they wouldn't have maybe found before or something. Yeah. And I think along too with the progressive thing that Diane was mentioning, you know, there is progression in life. I mean, a lot of us will go into some kind of leave our home that we've, you know, maintained, in our adult life and go into maybe a retirement facility. So you will be, you know, encountering new people with, you know, that you'll have to educate on what your abilities are. So it's just, I think there's many times in life that there will be change, and that adjustment will just kind of be part of who we are, and our attitude will make or break kind of the new situation we find ourselves in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Carol Wright still has a question, but she's unmuted. Are you there, Carol? Give her one more chance. Not sure what's going on, but sorry about that. Go ahead.
Carol.
I will try this again. One more time. Carol, are you there? You're there, but there. Are you? You're unmuted? Says you are, but I'm sorry about that. Carry on, panel.
All right. I'm open for thoughts or ideas. If either of you have things to offer.
Well, I think, you know, there are family dynamics before you become blind, and they don't probably change. So if you have, you know, family members who've had issues just, you know, over the years, those issues are probably not going to go away and be improved. So if you have a person who's domineering and who wants to tell everybody what to do or how to do it or can't get along with family members, that probably is going to continue. And sometimes families change as far as especially the financial affairs. I've known certain families where one spouse took care of the financial affairs, and then when that spouse lost vision, the other one had the opportunity, and they liked the power and the authority they had, and they were like, hey, I'm not giving this up. So it is attached to blindness, but it is only a part of blindness, because there were other dynamics going on maybe for a very long time. But when they changed, some people like the change and then others do not. So it, you know, again, it's is more complicated than just the blindness. The blindness affects it. It's a part of it. Because you're growing and changing maybe, and other members that you know or neighbors or whoever it might be or siblings are not in the same way. So, it can create opportunities. So it depends upon how we use those opportunities to help ourselves and help our families understand what we're going through and if we can. And you're right. Sometimes family members will not understand and do not want to. So then we do have to find, just like I think as being a senior, we all have to keep finding new friends because some of the friends we've had are going to be gone. And we need to keep moving and growing and finding new people to that will challenge us to grow and to learn and to give us depth and a quality of life. Just because we're seniors and we need to move on in that way, regardless of vision.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like so many things we think are blindness related, and they are because blindness is part of who we are. You may be tall, you may be short, and you're blind. It's just one of your characteristics. And I love when I think it was Ruth said, you know, if they've always been domineering, they're not going to change. They're just going to be domineering and want to tell everybody how to do things. And as I read in a book, there's only one way to do it the right way. And of course, that is my way.
There are
lots of people like that. Well, there aren't lots of people, but there are some people like that. I play cards with a group of ladies that live where I do. And they are so funny because one of them, she wants to tell everybody, or say, well, why did you play that? Aren't you paying attention? Someone is waiting for you to do that. Why aren't you paying attention? And the other day, one of the ladies said, you know, I won't use her name. You wouldn't know her, but we'll call her Patty. You know, Patty, you're just one fifth of this game. And so maybe you'd like to just be your partner. You'd like to be part of the game. It didn't change her in the bit, and in a bit and it won't.
Yeah.
But she's a lot of fun. But she does want to tell you exactly what to do. And you just have to let her do it because she's not going to change. And we don't want to make her angry or anything. But I thought it was funny that she said, you know, you're just playing one-fifth of this game. So I don't think it sunk in, but that's okay. That's okay. The rest thought it was great. And she wasn't being hateful about it at all.
And I might offer, too, that if you have a particularly frustrating situation, that's an opportunity to, if people, someone has not, is being, you know, maybe overdoing it with and not getting the point of what you're trying to say to them about your own independence. Sometimes you just have to draw, you know, move on, like Ruth said, move on. And there's other people that will find you interesting and capable and a joy to be around. And I've had a lot of times people tell me that I bring a lot to the table that they learn in life from me because of how I do things, your perspective. So sometimes you just have to move on with your perspective and those other people just kind of sit and spin and do whatever. But that's where you find the NFB, your positive people. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Are there other specific questions or issues that people have had that, you know, kind of a specific situation that, you know.
There is.
That,
looks like there is a question.
Okay.
It's Helen. Go ahead, Helen.
Thank you. I'm going to give you two really quick examples. After I got trained in using a white cane, I got it out to use to go to church. One of the first weekends I went home during training, and my dad nearly had a conniption fit. He says, you don't need to use that. You're just using it so you can help other blind people.
No.
He didn't think I needed it, you know, so that was kind of a missed thing. But I think we often wonder with our kids, you know, do they believe in what I'm doing? I had a daughter in senior high school drama class, and they had words that picked out of a bowl, and then they were supposed to act out that part. Well, her word was blind. Mm. And so she started to look like she was dusting the furniture and mopping the floor, vacuuming, so on and so on. And the teacher said, no, you're not acting blind. It's because my mom is blind. This is what she does. And the teacher made her sit down. She says, you're not doing it right. So go sit down. But as mad as that made me, it also made me happy to know that my daughter, she knew I could do things.
Right.
And she wasn't afraid to let other people know.
That's awesome. Great.
I'm sorry, folks. I'm going to have to drop off for a little bit, and I'll try and come back on.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Diane. Carol, do you have any comments? Try this again. Carol. Yeah,
Nothing else just happening there with that.
No, I don't have anyone else here now. I'll share a story. Okay. Sure, we've all had these.
Yeah.
I think my son was he was 6 years old, and we went to a school event, and I remember we walked in, and I was trying to assess the place, and all of a sudden he asked someone, where do we put our parents? And it was, I can't say how embarrassed I was at the time, but now I kind of look back on it, and it's strangely funny but embarrassing, but I had to think about how to use that as a moment of education, and that's always stuck with me. Like, what did I do that he thought that I wasn't in control of the situation? You know what I mean? So it was a real, I'm sure we've all had something like.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I remember where I lived, there was a stadium that I could walk to. It was a good, healthy walk, but it was walkable. And I took my kids there. And in front of this museum, they had a great big, it was in Connecticut, which is the whaling state. So they had a great big man-made whale, and the kids could climb on it and have a good time with it. And I asked somebody for some directions. I wasn't quite sure how far it was. And my daughter was 4, and the person who I asked directions of was just someone on the street. And she bent down to my daughter and said, see that over there? That's where you take your mommy. I said, no, wait a minute. I'm the adult here. You have to explain to me where over here is. And she goes, oh. And, you know, it was just, she just had to think that whether you could see or not, you know, that you're talking to another adult. A four-year-old is not going to take me across the street, any street. You know, four-year-olds don't know how to do that. And so sometimes we do have to educate people in a, you know, quick manner in a way, and as nicely as we can, but firmly, too. You know, we are the adult, and we're in charge of things, and we can safely negotiate whatever situation it is, or competently too. I know people have told me that they used to run their church bazaars or things like that, and now that they've lost vision, you know, people are afraid to ask them to do things. And I said, well, since you used to run it, you know all of the chores and duties and the, you know, what is required. Just sometimes jump in and just start doing things like you used to do, and you'll prove to yourself and your colleagues that you're the same person. You know, don't wait for people to always ask you, because they might not. So being comfortable to take the bull by the horns sometimes can be a good thing, too, where you just step in and do what you've done in the past.
Oh, Ruth, I think I pressed a hot button. We got 6 hands now. Camilla, go
ahead. Oh, good.
I wanted to say that the digital divide is making it a little more difficult for people to find others that can help them. I know in my NFB chapter, everybody but me has access to technology, and you ask them how to do something, you get an answer involving technology, which I'm sure it's correct and helpful if you have the technology, but it doesn't work if you don't. And I don't know how you solve that problem. I've looked at other places to try to get information and haven't been able to find any. Any comments, please? Thank you.
Well, I am very much one that uses the old-fashioned way, as I say, to do things. I'm not into technology to the degree a lot of people, my friends and people in our state are, and I prefer doing things still the old-fashioned way. This is Shelley, so I'm happy to hook up with you and give you some ideas if things come up that way. You're welcome to call, because I understand that. To me, the old-fashioned way works all the time. Technology can still, I don't know, I'm just leery of it since I don't know, I'm not confident about it. Maybe that's a way to put it. I'm not confident in my own abilities, so the old way works best for me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting because it's a paradigm that some people love the technology and maybe they depend on it too much where they start to lose some of their skills, or people who don't have the technology could benefit to it as an addendum to enhance the skills they have. But anyway, Sharon, go ahead with your comments.
Did you ever clean your house only to have your family come in and redo it? And I always have that happen, and it turns out it's even happened to sighted people. And, you do all this scrubbing, and maybe there's stains or something you miss, and you know, they mean well, and everything's kind of funny, but I've heard of it, the same thing happening to sighted people. Yeah, I clean my house, and in comes so-and-so and cleans it up. Sometimes it's not just blind people.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, and you're right. The house may be clean. There might be stains, because you might not, I mean, there's sometimes no way to know that. But yeah, you know, humor might be a good way to deal with that. But yes, I've known it to happen to sighted people too. As a matter of fact, quite a few people have mentioned that to me.
Yeah, exactly. They just, some different people have different priorities and they come in and see something mm-hmm. that would have been the first thing they done. But Patricia, go ahead.
Yeah, a couple things. I have a wonderful group of close friends and it seems like they're so intuitive. They just seem to know when to maybe offer help. And most of the time they don't offer help because, as you say, you don't need it. But, you know, family members are often another thing, I think, probably because we're so close. I found as I've lost my sight that it takes me longer and longer to do, you know, kind of all the chores you used to do around the house. Like instead of fixing dinner in 20 minutes, it might take me an hour. And other little tasks, like just even finding the right lid for the storage container and so forth. But, family members apparently find this really frustrating as they watch you kind of, you know, struggling a bit. Maybe I don't even feel like I'm struggling. I'm just, you know, doing it. And they'll tend to want to grab it and say, here, just let me do that. And that's a real frustration. It seems to be frustrating to them to watch you take so long to do something. They'd like to just get it done and move on. But, you know, you kind of want to do it yourself. And if you really need the help, eventually you'll ask.
Yeah,
I guess there's no answer for that. And it's really hard to educate family members. Even though you're around them all the time, you think they catch on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with what you said.
Yeah. Okay, Cynthia Young.
Sorry, I don't mean to take so much time, but I think it's interesting. July last year, I live in Utah, and I flew to Oklahoma for a family reunion, and my mom picked me up at the airport, and I stayed with them for a little bit, and then she drove the other side of the state. And so we'd bought some stuff to make what I call a 5-cup fruit salad, and we couldn't find any tidbits of the canned pineapple. They just had chunks. And so we get over to where this place is, and I had been there many times visually. So I basically knew where a lot of, you know, some of the areas, but so I'm in the kitchen and I said, guys, where's the paper plates at? And I don't remember what they told me. They told me, and so I'm draining the pineapple and I'm getting bowls and different things to put in. I end up getting just a plastic serrated knife, you know, because that's all, they didn't have big knives there. And I realized that two of them were over there watching me. And I said, are you guys over there watching me? And they just kind of, yeah. I said, well, come watch. I can't see this plate, but I'm going to cut this pineapple. Is that okay? Yeah. And they just stood there and watched me. And, you know, I think sometimes it's just a teaching thing. Because when I first got there, some of them just weren't quite sure how to react because they'd always known me with vision. And I think most visual people have not really been around blind people, so they don't know what to do. Because the miniature cane taps something, and they go, oh! You know, I go, it's okay, guys. It's supposed to touch it. Because there were metal folding chairs in this big, humongous dining room that were in there. But by the time I left, they treated me like they always had. So I think sometimes it's just a thing you have to do. You've got to step out, do what you do, and when they get kind of, you know, you can hear it in their voice or whatever, you have to explain things to them because they don't know what they don't know.
Right, right. I think that's definitely true. You're the teacher, or you're not teacher, but the guide for their learning, and you're the mentor for them, you know, because they don't have experience, and you can't know something if you have not really had experience with it, you know.
Hey, Judy Sanders. Go ahead, Judy.
Okay, sorry about
Shelley,
that.
Shelley, I'm going to have to get off because my phone is dying, so I'm going to have to say good evening and Shelley.
All right.
Oh, that's what that sound is.
Too much noise. That's okay. What it is. That's it's me.
I'm pulling our hair and trying to figure where that was coming from.
Yeah,
okay,
no, right. It's me. I'm sorry.
No problem. But
you're fine. Thank you very much for your help.
Okay, go ahead,
Jimmy. So I want to remind everybody that tomorrow afternoon is our What If game, and some of the things I heard today would be good What If. And Camilla, you don't have to get on tonight to do this, but think about what you said about everybody wants to give you a high-tech solution. What I'd like you to do is be a part of our What If game, but be more specific about an example of when that happens. And then we'll see if we can come up with a solution of what you might do. And everybody else think about that too. Because Glenn and I have one to start with, but you know, if you don't say that you have one, you're going to have to listen to us. So there you go.
All right, Nancy, go ahead.
Yes, my now ex-husband grew up, when he was growing up, he had vision in one eye. And when he was a teenager, he started losing some of that vision. And his mother was very overprotective anyway. And so we got married, and he had a closed-circuit TV that he would use to read stuff. And one time, and he hadn't been using it for a couple of years because he had been losing more of the vision in that eye. And his mother came down and said, "Doesn't Jerry use his closed-circuit TV anymore?" And I paused for a minute because I thought, I shouldn't be the one telling her this. And then I said to myself, "Oh, shucks." And I said, "No, because he doesn't have enough vision to use it anymore." And the first thing out of her mouth was, how's he going to do his job? And I couldn't help it. I said, "He's going to do it the same way he's been doing it for the last year and a half." Because she just, you know, she had no idea. And she, as far as she was concerned, he could do stuff because he could see some. But I could do nothing because I couldn't. So it was interesting.
That is difficult.
Mm. I'll try Carol one more time. You are unmuted. Carol.
Hello.
There you Carol. Go. Hello, Carol.
That's okay. Shelley. Sorry.
All right. I'm sorry. It's not working for you today, Carol. Internet or something. I don't know. But okay.
Think of your question. Keep it in mind, and we can talk about it another session if you need to. That's fine. Yeah. I know it's a little early. I think I've tapped out what I was going to comment on for today. Family dynamics is always just interesting because it's the emotion of you and your family. So there's a, like we've seen, there's a pool of resources, and sometimes it's just talking with people.
Okay, one more. We'll take one more from Katie.
Yes, I just wanted to revisit what Ruth was talking about when the lady was talking to her children instead of to her.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably one of our pet peeves, being blind, is when people talk to the person next to you instead of talking to you.
Yes.
So just a couple of weeks ago, we were at the bank, and this lady walked up and said to my son, "Could I just ask you a question? How long has she been blind?" And I said, "Honey, you can talk to me." And then she started talking to me. Well, she wanted something that I didn't want to talk about. So I just said, "Well, let's see if I want to talk about that today." And then I said, "No, I don't think I do." So my son said later on, "You know, you've really grown, because I can remember when that would really upset you." And I said, "Well, it didn't. I've gotten used to it now."
So. Well, that's a good point. It's an age-old thing, like in restaurants. You know, what will he have? And, you know, depending upon your mood, well, I'll look at it right in the eye and go, "Well, he will have," or "You can ask me directly." And, you know, it's one of those opportunities, even though as frustrated as you are, and you maybe want to say something smart, but you say, "Here's an educational opportunity, and here's my chance to, you know, try to maybe educate her." And so then I say, "Okay, well, is there anything I can do to maybe improve that situation? Like maybe trying to make sure that I make eye contact with the waitress or the server," you know, so.
Yeah.
We're always educating, whether we're out traveling, whether using the cane, we're in a restaurant, whatever the situation, even though we may not want to, we're always educating. We never know who that one person is whose opinion and view we change today by talking to them and go, "Oh, it's a real person," and, you know, trying to, you know, give them some kind words, you know, and something I learned a few years ago, you know, thank people for their service, be it a server or a cashier, someone assisting you in a store. Those are all ways that we can, because you never know. When you change one person's view, you're opening opportunity, maybe a job opportunity, a rental opportunity. I mean, there's so many things that can come from it. And we just have to, as frustrated as you may be, just smile and use this moment to educate. Yes, exactly.
That's true, because sometimes what's caused them to make such a statement might have been their a bad day they are having. And they just said something off the top. And I mean, you just never know. But it's an opportunity, like you say, to help correct the situation.
Thank everyone for joining us. We'll be here tomorrow. Yeah.